Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome to Women Worldwide, and thanks for tuning into the show. Today's episode features another Visionary Woman Award winner and is sponsored by Moore College of Art and Design in Philadelphia. Moore is the first and only women's visual arts college for undergraduates in the United States. Let's get right to our special guest. Joining me on the show is Meg Seligman, an internationally recognized American artist. Meg has produced over 40 permanent public artworks worldwide, and her practice stems from a deep desire to give a voice to communities through public art. She's received numerous awards. In addition to the Visionary Woman Award from Moore, she's also been recognized by the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program Visionary Artist Award and has received honors from the National Endowment for the Arts. Meg has also been featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, ArtNet, and on the Today Show. She's here to share her career journey with you, and I'm going to welcome you to the show, Meg.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Awesome. Well, so excited to have you on the show. And I think, you know, I'd like to start off a little bit with how you discovered when you first wanted to be an artist. Maybe what experience or experiences led you in that direction?
Well, it's interesting. One would think there could be one path or it would happen very early. I happened to grow up in a small town in upstate New York, Olean, New York, and there wasn't a lot of art there. So I wasn't necessarily exposed as a young child, but when I was probably in about junior high, I saw my art teacher paint a watercolor flower. And I remember just seeing that, thinking, oh my God, if I could ever do that, that would be the most wonderful thing. And I actually think of that moment sometimes when I'm out there painting in a community or out on the street. Like, what if someone like me at that age sees me painting and somehow I turn a light on? So the light was sort of turned on by that incident. And then it seemed that when I followed that path, it got reinforced into high school. So it was about at that age that I started having a curiosity and recognizing my facility in the visual arts.
It's so interesting that one moment, you know, it's almost like a defining moment. Something happens that, as you said, turns that light bulb on. And I wonder, you know, you talked about your experience, small town, not really being exposed. Today, do you think that young people in general, whether they're in maybe grade school or high school now, do you think they understand that there are so many options as an artist and that you can have art as a career?
No, I don't think everybody understands you can have art as a career. I think people are shaped by their experiences. I think some young artists hear, you can't do that as a profession. You should go to school for something else. You have to, by well-meaning parents who want their children to be able to support themselves, perhaps they get a little bit of misinformation, in my opinion, there. I think that if your goal is to generate lots and lots and lots of revenue, I would think there would be an easier profession to do that in. There might be a more direct line to the pot at the end of the rainbow, or right, you know, whatever your goals are. But if you truly are interested in getting your voice out there of to me, it's, I am so motivated by just playing with paint all day. That's the way I want to spend my days. If that's your motivation, you're willing to work hard, I believe the money will follow. I say go for it and see where it takes you. Yeah, I've never had anybody come up to me and say, oh, I went for it and I'm really sorry. Now I can't earn my living. What a waste of time. I have people every day. Just last week at the site, I had someone who was at that. There was a 7-Eleven right by the site, and I went up to check out and they saw me in my paint clothes, and they said, I wanted to be an artist. I, you know, you're so lucky to be. And I just said, I know I am. Oh. You know, so I hear, probably I'd say, honestly, once a week, I wanted to be an artist, or I wish, or you're so, like, and, you know, when you're younger, that's when your options are open. And that's where I would recommend going for it and realizing in our society, art is not necessarily the easiest path for generating revenue, but it can be done. Because we're artists, we can figure this out in a creative way, right? I also think, and then I'll stop, I think that the world is heading in a direction now where people thinking outside of the box is valued more. And it's such a fast-paced world, technology, everything that we do. I think there's more of a need for thinking outside the box. So I'm hoping that could also influence the value that our society places on creative professions.
Absolutely. So I do want to touch on, because you talked about people coming up to you and saying, oh my gosh, you're an artist, and you expressing that feeling of satisfaction and gratitude. You're a Moore College of Art and Design Visionary Award winner. So you've been around the students, and, you know, these aspiring young women artists, their hearts are filled with passion as well. What do you want to tell them about their journey forward?
I would want to tell them that they are choosing their own path. You can't have everything, but you can make conscious choices and set your mind on getting what you choose. And that it can come from within themselves, not necessarily as a reaction to the world around them. Don't, maybe as an artist, I think there's a lot of success to be had in not being led. You lead your path, your vision, your creative force out there in the world. And believe that you can do it and don't give up. That's the one thing I think that I've done that has helped me gain professional success is don't give up. Even today in the studio, right? We have a studio, we have, you know, a team, we've got employees here, we've got fabulous commissions, you know, we say, oh, it's one of those weeks where you get, you know, you sort of get beaten down, didn't get this commission, didn't do, or there's trouble here, or there's that. There's always going to be that. It's, you know, how you respond to it. You know, you're going to be in a place where you've been painting, you have a show, and maybe perhaps you don't sell that much, or, you know, and it's like, okay, then what do we do next? So there's, just don't give up.
Yeah, I mean, that's great advice for young aspiring artists, for really for anybody, that when you have this passion, there's always going to be obstacles. And like you said, weeks where you're going to say, oh, this is a tough one. So don't give up is good advice. But there's something that you said.
Wait, I have one more piece of advice before I forget. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
What I would say is that got me, that jumped me, that I think put me into a career where I was actually making art was the question, how do I want to spend my days? We all only have one life, right? Don't accept when you're coming out of college that you have to, you know, get a 40-hour-a-week job. Maybe you want it for great. I'm not dissing that at all.
Yeah, right.
I like that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing. But don't accept just how do you want to be spending your days and focus your efforts with getting yourself there.
Yeah, that's a really important question to ask. One thing that you said that stands out in my mind, success is not being led. Would you say that when you're an artist, you have to be a risk taker?
Well, it's interesting you say that, but I'm gonna have a knee-jerk reaction okay. When you say you're an artist and you have to. So I'm like, oh no, that's why I'm an artist.
Because I don't have to.
Goals for me, not anyone else, right?
Right.
But I would say that it's a quality that's helped me a lot mm-hmm. in my work, and I think a lot of work that I admire has that quality. I think risk taking is a good thing for a creative spirit.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be a proponent of risk taking. Yes.
Very cool. All right, I'd love to jump into some of your work because it is community based. You even discuss on your website how you capture engagement or the collective voice. So maybe you could just describe that collective voice and what you're doing in the community.
Okay, that's a big question.
I know. People really have to go to your website.
Describe what am I doing in the community? Oh, geez. All right. First, one thing is, and this is the I will defer. I will do what I know and what I do well when I'm within a community. Hopefully the community would be the ones to say more, what have I done successfully there? What have I not done successfully? Right. So, but one thing that I hope the work does do is it sparks engagement. It helps. I would hope that it would cross boundaries. I would hope it would put people directly in the path of beauty. I'm a huge believer in beauty and what it does for us when we experience it, how it elevates, how it's a point of safety and transformation. So I would hope that going into a community, I am finding what is there and that we are working together to create something beautiful through a process of engagement. I guess that's where I would go.
Yeah, no, that was an excellent answer. And your artwork, your murals, your installations in these communities are sometimes very large. I mean, if you go to your website, you have almost like a truck that is next to some of those installations where a truck actually looks small. So you have to see the size and the scope. But, you know, one thing is, I guess each piece of art is different. How much time are you spending in the studio? Because you mentioned being in the studio with the team versus being in the community and that actual installation.
You know, it's interesting. They're different. It varies from project to project. And the site will typically dictate the answer to this. Is it a site? We have a process where you can actually paint in the studio on cloth and then adhere it to the wall. So sometimes our site time can be limited. It could be we would 70% in the studio, 30% on site, then it also could be 100% on site with just design time in the studio. So our goal is we love when we can to be creating in the community. If logistics are cooperating with us as much as possible. A typical project could be anywhere from, let's say, 2 months to 2 years. That's our range.
Wow. I mean, that can take some time. And I would think that would be for larger installations, the 2 years.
Right. The 2 years is larger, let's say, in excess of 25,000 square feet. So we're talking about some. Now we're up into mega largest murals in the world range, right?
Yeah.
And you also have to travel and live within the community before the design is made, or where are you getting your content from? It's something I would never want to go into a community at 40,000 square feet and put something on the wall without having spent time within that community.
Right. And when you say that you live in the community and you spend time, are you speaking to a lot of the members of the community? Is that where you're sort of drawing?
We try to. Yeah. You know, with also an eye to, you have to be realistic. I say that being a muralist is just the best way to travel, right? You get there, your job is to have to go on tours, have the city show off for you, meet with the dignitaries. Everybody's trying to bring their sort of best foot for this artistic exploration. And then I think it's my job too, to sort of get real and say, okay, how can I randomize this more? How can I get more of a reflective cross section of a full community that incorporates all here, right? So part of that is my job to intentionally meet people I wouldn't meet coming into the city as an artist. And also starting at the site, I will literally just sort of sit at the site and see where that takes me. And you'd be surprised how much you get from that.
I can imagine. Do people come up to you when when the installation is being built, when you're working on site? Is the community curious? Do they want to know what's going on?
Oh, yeah. People come. That, you know, and that's a source of engagement, too. We, you know, the team, before we go out, we're discussing, like, if someone comes up and asks you what's going on, you know, what are we going to say? And we want it to be engaging, right? We're going to question back. What do you see?
Oh, cool.
How do you feel about this? Or one of my things when we're going and we're talking about the creation of the mural within the community, it's a dialogue. We're not just blabbing, right? We've done this before, and we want to get at a place where engagement can occur. So if we're in a design process and we're talking with someone from the community, I'm not going to point at the wall and say, hey, what do you want to see up here? I might say, what is meaningful to you in your community? Why'd you stop and talk? Like, do you like, what's your response to this initially? Or so it's, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but the discussion, hopefully the dialogue is done thoughtfully in a way that's conducive to listening for us and hearing, whether it's on site, before the site, that's what we want to be when we're within the community during the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, I think the world that we live in today, people, whether it's their artwork or it's the brands that they love that they want to purchase, want to feel connected. And it sounds like your design process really is a way to do that. So that's really interesting. I'm glad you shared that. Meg, I'm just going to ask you to hold all of your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break and give some love to a sponsor. And I also want to remind everyone that today's podcast episode featuring Meg Saligman, a Visionary Woman Award winner, is being sponsored by Moore College of Art and Design. Moore is the first and only women's visual arts college for undergraduates in the United States. And their Visionary Woman Award recognizes women whose lives and careers have made a significant impact on the world of art and design and are national leaders in their fields. They're powerful role models for the college's talented students, and a Moore annual event honoring these women raises scholarship funds for the college's undergraduates. And for more information on Moore College of Art and Design, you can visit moore.edu. That's moore.edu.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Meg Saligman and I were discussing her artwork that stems from a deep desire to give a voice to the community. And Meg, we sort of left off, we were talking about design process, what's meaningful when you're in the community and how people come up to you and kind of share their thoughts about what they're seeing. And, you know, I was wondering as we were talking, and also I had mentioned how everything is in like real time and people want to be connected. Does the folks who share their thoughts, does that ever change the direction of what you're doing with the actual installation?
Yes, absolutely. It not only changes the direction, it forms it. From the beginning. It's not Meg Saligman having her voice on display in your community, right? One thing I think when we begin these projects and when we begin a collaboration, you want your artist to have a vision. I consider myself a vessel with a vision. But the vessel can hold the collective and individual voices of the community. And you want to enter this collaboration not as, oh, well, you know, I'm a good compromiser, or it, we don't compromise. We take a given set of design problems, let's say. We can be very pragmatic about it. And we want to take what the community brings and figure out how that will make the work stronger, right? And that intention, I think, is what it's one key ingredient to quality art that is within and out there in the world. One example I have is in Shreveport, Louisiana, we did a 30,000 square foot mural for the millennium, right? And the city came to us and said, we want the mural to look like your paintings, but we want 2,000 people from Shreveport to paint it. And I was like, you know, like, what the heck? Yeah. And at this point, very earlier in my career, I'm like, oh, okay, we're all right. Let's do that. And then I'm like, well, what the hell? So out of that came, that was a given sort of a thing. We came up with taking a technique that was sort of a paint by numbers technique that had been established by an artist, Ted Twitchell, and devised it so that the community could actually paint on cloth that was installed on the wall.
Oh, and that's cool.
That technique is industry standard. It's used all over the country. And And so we look that as, you know, I think the general philosophy is, how can we make this a win-win?
Well, that is a win-win. I'm sure that all of those artists felt so much more connected, and it speaks to your process. So I love that you were able to solve that design problem. You know, when you talk about figuring out how to make your work stronger and some of the, you know, quote unquote problems, what about challenges? There's a lot of success in what you do and the collective voice that you're capturing, but maybe you could just talk a little bit about the challenges, different phases, either of your career or even in the artwork itself.
Yeah. The challenges are great, but I honestly, sometimes we're sitting here working and thinking like, can we think of anything harder to do? Like, could it be more complicated? Like our last site, so logistics, you're painting huge thousands of square feet out there in the public. You're going to run into a lot of logistical issues in the process. We just finished a project that had a swing stage. So our site was looming over a playground for kids, right?
Right.
So, you know, like, how the heck are we going to do that? Other challenges could be, you know, it's challenging dealing with so many people and so many different energies out in the world. How do you keep your vision, your boat steering straight ahead with all the forces and energies coming out? We don't shut ourselves in the studio and get peace. We have to create a space for ourselves out there in a very busy world. So I think that's a challenge. That the aspects of keeping the studio a thriving business, such as, you know, our numbers at the year are, as an artist, I can understand black and red, right?
Yeah.
That's a challenge for us, even, you know, as much success as we have getting commissions, it's a challenge for me personally to pay attention to that and forge the health of our studio as sort of this entity that's creating a large body of work.
Absolutely. And what about you personally with some of the installations, the travel, you have a family? Any challenges there as far as time away, time at home?
Oh, totally. And this comes back to choices, right? You have to consciously choose. If, you know, I have four children, I have done some of my choices have taken me. My first child, I was pregnant. I lived in Mexico City for 5 months during my pregnancy, away from my husband. So I chose that to create that piece of artwork there. It has taken me away from the kids when I didn't want to be away from them. But I do also know that there is no one path or there is no set of rules that a woman has to follow in order to be a good mom, a good wife, a good whatever role she's adapting. I think that's the inner compass that I think mm-hmm. guided. I had a mom who was your typical 50s mom, and she did everything for us, and it was so wonderful for me to have that I question a lot my path. I didn't want to be that mom for my kids. So I provided them with something different, but still a lot of love, limits. So the challenges of roles and for me not being able to choose at all and realizing there are phases. Some points in your life, you're going to be more focused in one area, but the conscious intention of making your life and experience what you want, I think is important.
Yeah, I do too. And I like that you said, no, there is no set of rules. you really have to carve it out yourself and whatever works. And you're right, with intention and choices, you're going to find love and limits.
And not in any way am I saying you can do whatever the hell you want, right?
Right.
Like that I just went out and did what I wanted. Not in any way. It's the conscious choices, I think.
Absolutely. And this is one of those big questions, inspiration. So was there anybody in your life who inspired you to get you to where you are, to help you make these choices?
I guess the one woman who inspired me greatly was my Aunt Marcella. And I would have to say she was an inspiration in that several times a week, I think, what would Aunt Marcella do here? You know, if it's a point of being kind to someone, kind to a stranger, nice to a family member who's, you know, on your last nerves.
Right. That happens.
Someone you're working with, I'm like, what would Aunt Marcella do? So I think that is like deeply inspirational. And her goodness is still sort of rippling out there in the world. So I would say her.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Aunt Marcella, is she still around?
No, she died about 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah. But again, she's out there. She, you know, that sort of living on and rippling, I believe in the power in that.
Absolutely. Now, this is so we've had a prior conversation, and this is the second time that you've mentioned the ripple effect. So whether it's Aunt Marcella and what would Aunt Marcella do as a ripple effect, or maybe even art in general, talk about the ripple effect.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've got ripple on the brain, partly because we just finished a project, Rippling Moon.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and with most things in our life, this inspiration has come from something that was a hardship, right? So we were working with a constituency of youth who have experienced early childhood trauma. And the director at the center who is helping these youth kept referring to, you know, we know that if something traumatic happens to you, it ripples through your life and wreaks havoc, right? That's right. Pretty obvious. But we don't spend a lot of time on focusing that the positive will ripple just as loudly and as effectively. So I think with art, with creativity, with your intent behind your making it, you're creating something. I'm a large object maker, right? And a lot of people see these large objects. They have the potential to ripple out into the community. And it goes far beyond your original intent. But I think putting out the beautiful, the creative, the alternative perspective has vast and far-reaching power.
Yeah, and that surely is the ripple. You know, as I chat with you and you're sharing your work, and you just talked about Rippling Moon, and you talked about how you did the paint-by-number system with one of your other installations, you know, I wonder how there's a lot of positive and beauty. At the same time, when you put yourself out there as an artist, I'm sure there is some feedback of your work. And whether you're a student, you're aspiring, or you know, you've made it as an artist, how do you handle that maybe the feedback that is the gift of critique? So sometimes it's not always positive.
You know, it's funny. When I was in school and when I graduated from school, I didn't handle it well at all. I hated it. I would take great offense. It would impact me deeply. Now I can honestly say it truly is. I do what I do. I know what I do. I have my wheelhouse. You know, if someone doesn't like it, doesn't want it, has a bad reaction, like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, oh, yeah, okay, that's their perspective. But I believe in the motivation of what we do. I believe in the quality of what we do. So it's not, it has to come from within. And it's okay for people to hold different opinions. You know, I remember, I think it was about a year ago, somebody introduced, one of my friends introduced me to somebody, and they were all proud. Like, this is Meg. She painted the mural. And the person looked at me and went, not a fan.
Oh, wow.
And I laughed. I truly laughed. I'm like, all right, there you go. You
know, like, what a way to meet
yeah,
someone.
Like, okay. Like, it's all good. It's, you know, we can do different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can want different things for our public space as well. It's difficult when people are sharing public space. And this is a much larger topic, but think about it. I mean, I'm an artist. I want to have a vision. I hate, you saw me, I already had a knee jerk in this conversation when someone said the word rule.
Yeah. Right?
But at the same time, I also, if it's a public space, let's say I want to paint a violent image and someone is walking by with PTSD, or you have to understand people come to their public spaces with lots of different experience. So,
oh, yes.
So that does impact the work that we have within the public space. And that also, at the same time, that doesn't mean that the work can't be challenging, perhaps not confrontational or overtly controversial, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean it can't be without it should be thought-provoking, challenging, perhaps helping you see something in a slightly new way. So I think that's an important conversation you just made me think of.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we would expect of art. It's subjective. It should be thought provoking. If you could, cause it's so interesting to hear about your journey. And even the fact that you said, I didn't handle perhaps the critique well when you were a student versus now. And then the funny story that you told, if you could go back and give advice to your younger self, what would you say?
Oh, that's interesting. I probably would have said, I wish you had known your promise or your goodness at that time. I wish I would have been more fully, and I don't want to say this, I'm hesitating because I don't want to sound egotistical, right? I would have said, I wish I had known my worth more starting mm-hmm. out and had the faith and belief in myself. I was lucky. I had a mother who instilled faith and belief in me. I had my Aunt Marcella. I had influences in my life that were believing in me, and I was taking it from the exterior, and that got me to where I needed to be. But I wish early on I would have known my worth and been a steadier boat.
Yeah, I think when you're younger, I think a lot of us can step back and say that. And years of experience and growth certainly get us to where we are. Thank you so much for sharing that, by the way.
Sure.
And maybe you could just give a little more advice to others, whether they're artists or in some other profession. What can you tell them about pursuing passion and how they should put their best foot forward?
I would say, and it's going to bring me right back to, we all of us, we have one life. Our time is limited, is precious. None of us are promised tomorrow, right? I think holding that so clearly, when you make your choices and realize your power in your path forward, that there isn't a straight and narrow path, and that in my experience, being in an artistic path is just a hoot and a holler, right? It's fun. It's complicated. It's not boring. And so I would just, you know, when you can and you have a lot of options open to you, you know, take the risk and dedicate yourself. There's work involved in an artistic path. Was that, was there any advice in there, or was
you just packed so much advice. That was really good. And the risk word was in there too. I think whether you're an artist or you're pursuing any of your dreams as a professional, you just gave really, really good advice. So thank you.
Can I say one thing since I said the risk word, and I'm a mother of four?
Yes.
Not safety risks, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Healthy and breathing. So we got to have reasonable limits with our bodies and our health.
Absolutely. I'm a mother and stepmother, and there's four in our family too. So I agree. Yes. Risk, but always safety. Right. Meg, where can people find out more about you and your artwork?
They could go to megseligman.com. We have a blog there. We have, you know, it'll put you to any social media feeds. We like to share our in-progress stuff. So it's a fun site, I think. You'll get visuals, which is the one thing that we're not necessarily having when you're listening, which I think it's good to split up the senses, right? And it helps me because I'm focusing on thought. And, you know, so you'll get visuals, megseligman.com.
Yes, beautiful visuals. I've been there. Meg, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, enlightening us about your work and the community voice and how you capture engagement. You're such an inspiration. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.